It is Pentecost and our passage. Instead of me simply reading the passage of Pentecost from Acts, I've got a kind of a dramatic reading. You may want to turn in your Bibles, if you would like, to Acts 2. That's the first 21st verses. That's where this comes from. If it works, and I hope it does work, we'll have it read to us through a video from the Message, which is a translation of the Bible as we read or hear read the Pentecost passage.
When the feast of the Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Without warning, there was a sound like a strong wind, gale force. No one could tell where it came from. It filled the whole building. Then, like a wildfire, the Holy Spirit spread through their ranks, and they started speaking in a number of different languages as the Spirit prompted them. There were many Jews staying in Jerusalem just then, devout pilgrims from all over the world. When they heard the sound, they came on the run. Then when they heard one after another their own mother tongues being spoken, they were thunderstruck. They couldn't for the life of them figure out what was going on and kept saying, "Aren't these the Galileans? How come we're hearing them talk in our various mother tongues?" Their heads were spinning. They couldn't make head or tail of any of it. They talked back and forth, confused. "What's going on here?" Others joked, "They're drunk on cheap wine." That's when Peter stood up and, backed by the other 11, spoke out with bold urgency. "Fellow Jews, all of you who are visiting Jerusalem, listen carefully and get this story straight. These people aren't drunk, as some of you suspect. They haven't had time to get drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. This is what the prophet Joel announced would happen. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on every kind of people. Your sons will prophesy, also your daughters. Your young men will see visions, your old men dream dreams. When the time comes, I'll pour out my spirit on those who serve me, men and women both, and they'll prophesy. I'll set wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth below. Blood and fire, and billowing smoke. The sun turned black, and the moon blood red. For the day of the Lord arrives, the day tremendous and marvelous, and whoever calls out for help to meet God will be saved."
The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our Lord shall stand forever. Let us pray. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Any of you remember the movie Bruce Almighty that came out, gosh, probably close to 8 or 10 years ago by now? Shake your head if any of you remember it. Yeah. So, a young man, a reporter, is played by Jim Carrey, is disillusioned with his station in life, especially when he is overlooked for the anchor position at the television station for which he works. So one evening, at his wit's end, he takes a ride in his car and ends up raising his hands to the heavens and expressing his displeasure to God. Well, to make a long story short, God hears Bruce and invites Bruce to take his place for a period of time. I suppose God needed a vacation and grants to Bruce all his powers. Well, what would you do if you were God for a day, for a week, for a year, forever? What would you do? Well, I Googled it and came up with some interesting suggestions that various folks have put forth as what they might do if they were God. One said, "I would let everyone see me so it ends the debate of whether I exist or not." Another says, I would add more music and dancing into the world and smite people who own Hummers. Another one says, I would knock on everyone's door who claims to be speaking for me. I just like to sit down, have a nice cup of tea with them, and find out just who gave them that permission. I wouldn't smite them afterwards. Rather, I would just let them in on the sorrow and the heartache and the suffering that they have inflicted on their fellow brothers and sisters. Another one says, I would fix it so that leaders, military, political, religious leaders, would turn bright orange when they are lying. And then John Spaulding, author of Pilgrim's Progress, writes, I'd stick the actual historical Jesus smack in the middle of American Christendom today, like in a big church on Sunday. And then I'd sit back and watch all hell break loose. Jesus wouldn't speak English, so of course there would be instant suspicion of his true identity. The poor guy wouldn't know the book of Romans or Revelation. Worse, he wouldn't get the Left Behind series, and he'd be baffled when the pastor, through an interpreter, thanked him for the new gymnasium. The hardest part as God would be what to do when the crowd turns on him. Well, those are interesting questions, but you know, when you think about it, that was really not the question the early disciples faced. Their question was not, what would you do if you were God? Rather, it was, what in the world do we do now that Jesus is gone? Jesus isn't here. He's been crucified. Yes, he was resurrected, leading the disciples to proclaim that he was alive with God. That's what we call Easter, but now he's gone. We haven't seen him in a while. So what in the world are we to do? Well, friends, that's what these balloons and that's what these colors and that's what this day is all about, Pentecost. The disciples have been timid up to this point. The gospel writers describe them as being fearful, hiding behind closed, locked doors, wondering what was going to happen to them. No one has stepped forward to lead. They are left alone with no one to answer the question, what do we do now that Jesus is gone? Where is our direction, our purpose going to come from? Well, of course, the answer is Pentecost, 50 days after Easter. The believers are gathered in Jerusalem when an occurrence beyond the imagination of mere mortals occurs. A strong wind blows in, fire settles over the heads of them, and they begin speaking, not in unintelligible, nonsensical tongues, but in other languages they hadn't been able to speak before. What's after Jesus? The Holy Spirit. That's what. With Pentecost, the risen Christ says hello, not goodbye, to you and to me, to the church. Well, what about this Spirit? How can we characterize it? What's it like? It's hard to get a handle on it, kind of like it's hard to describe God. But that's really how it should be when you think about it. The Spirit, Ruach in Hebrew, Pneuma in Greek, is described in many ways. I describe some of them to our children gathered here. Most of them mysterious. Wind, breath, fire, spirit. In creation, it is described as the wind from God sweeping over the face of the waters. God breathes into humankind the spirit, the breath of life. A scene which is revisited in the Gospel of John when the risen Christ breathes his spirit unto the disciples gathered together. Wind, breath, fire, the word, a dove, the very life force which is God himself, present in mysterious ways. Well, as this mysterious life force, what does it do? Well, our passage suggests three ways the Holy Spirit works, but given our time, I'm only going to go through two of them. So I'm not sure how we're going to end it because the ending was for the third one, but we're just going to figure it out as we go along. First, the Spirit provides direction, focus, purpose. In Acts, the followers of Jesus without a leader are kind of like a ship adrift at sea, rudderless. They have seen their dreams dashed against the rocks. What was so promising? Jesus, His words, His presence, His charisma. What's to happen now? It's already been several months and nothing has happened. Is it just over? Do we just go back home and play like none of this ever happened? Do we just go back to our old way of living? Of course not, the Spirit answers. You are to preach. You are to pray. You are to take care of each other. You are to contribute to the needs of the saints. You are to live lives of integrity and honor. You're to do all these things that the church at its best does today. Preach, teach, provide pastoral care, engage in ministries of compassion. That's our charge. That's the direction the Spirit has set for us. That was the direction the early church started. And we are to complete and continue and complete. The Spirit provides purpose. Secondly, the Spirit provides power to fulfill the purpose. After setting the direction, the mission, the Spirit provides the resources to do the work. The followers of Jesus find themselves equipped to do ministry in Christ's name. Where before they were timid, now they are bold. Where before they did not know what to say, now they are emboldened to preach the Word of God with confidence and conviction. Witness Peter's sermon in our text today. Where before they were powerless, they are now filled with power and able to do wondrous things in the name of Christ. And today, the church is empowered by that same Spirit. And though we see it torn apart from within and from without, though it faces its own struggles, still, at its best, the church reforms itself, renews itself, because this Spirit provides the resources and power to do so. And if we had the time, we could chronicle some of the ways in which the Spirit is moving in this congregation. The Spirit provides purpose, and the Spirit provides power to fulfill that purpose. You know, I don't know what the actual historical Jesus would think were he to land here among us right now. But I do think, friends, that he would recognize the work that we're supporting through ministries like Urban Promise. I think he would recognize the hungry that we're feeding here in Caldwell through the Caldwell Food Pantry and the soup kitchen. I think he would feel at home downstairs in some of our Sunday school classrooms where our children are learning about the love of God. Yes, I think the risen Christ, if he were here among us, would be pleased that we are a congregation which emphasizes care for one another and prays for one another. You know why? Because that's what the Spirit does, and that's where the Spirit of God is at work. That's where the breath of God is being felt. That's where the winds are blowing. May we continue to be open to its purpose and power, that we may have life, that we may be partners with God in healing a hurting world, that we indeed might ultimately experience the saving love God offers to all God's children. Let us pray. Oh God, we thank you for the gift of the Spirit, and we pray that you might continue to send it among us, that the purpose for which we have been created might be fulfilled through the power that you give to us, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.